This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Our Sunday school department can be dismissed in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 9. We'll start with verse 57. If you're there, shout amen. If not, shout over me. Amen. Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. It says, "And it came to pass as they went and away, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And also said, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Amen. I'm going to preach for just a little while on, are you fit for the fight? Are you fit for the fight? If you're going to preach with me, shout amen. 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 You may be seated in Jesus' name. Training is a must to be able to fight. It is simply not enough to be strong. It is not enough to be muscle bound. We saw early in the 70s, there was a little itty bitty guy named Bruce Lee, who was one of the toughest guys ever anyone ever seen. And he was just a little bitty guy. I don't guess he weighed more than 130 pounds, but he had trained to fight. Fighters must train because you cannot underestimate the strength and ability of your opponent. Can I tell you, we have an opponent in a spiritual warfare that we cannot afford to underestimate. Amen? Strength alone is not enough. As a Christian, we're in a fight, but it's not carnal. We're not knuckling up with people, or at least I hope we're not. We are in a spiritual battle, and to be effective in the spiritual battle, we must train to fight. Amen? You have to fight for faith. You have to fight to endure. You have to fight to hold on. You have to fight to let go. You are always having to fight. Amen. You have to fight to be a man. You have to fight to be a woman. You have to fight to be a father or a mother. You're constantly fighting to be the best you can be. Amen. You have to fight inner fear too. You have to fight doubt. Let me tell you something. There ain't nobody in here that hasn't fought the battle of doubt and fear that am I a good dad? Am I a good mom? Am I a good husband? Am I a good wife? Am I a good saint? We're all fighting a fight, and you have to be fit for the fight. Doubt, fear, and insecurity, a lot of times they come from our childhood. Amen. Come from things that happened or didn't happen as a child. Maybe we weren't loved enough. Maybe all kinds of scenarios can happen, and we have to fight through it. There are all kinds of other things to fight other than people. People should be the last thing you're fighting. Amen. We shouldn't be fighting people. Husbands, don't fight your wives. Wives, don't fight your husbands. Sister Olivia's feeling targeted right now. Don't, you've got so many other battles to fight. Leave people out of it. Amen. Everyone's in a fight regardless of how they look, how they smell, how they present themselves. No one escapes the fight. Every single person, I don't care how strong you are, I don't care how good you look, I don't care how skinny you are, how fat you are, I don't care if you've got $1 million in the bank or if you're dead broke, you are fighting a fight. And anyone that says they're not, they lie. For all the people who are poor that think if I just had money, everything would be all right. If I just had this car or this house, everything would be all right. Meanwhile, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the rich man who has it all but doesn't have anything. And he can't figure out what he needs to do. And he's fighting a fight all by himself that he don't understand how to win. They are in a fight too. I've watched people who have money and they be the most miserable people in their life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. People in the welfare line are in a fight. People on the unemployment line are in a fight. People who have good jobs are in a fight. People who work long hours are in a fight. People are in a fight. We are in a fight. And just because your fight is different from mine doesn't mean it isn't a fight altogether. There's people fighting that wish they had the job you have. Believe that. The job that you hate to go into, the job that you smash your knuckles on and it hurts and you have to go out to your secret prayer place and pray about it. The job that when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh man, I hate to go here again. The job where you're bored out of your mind. Can I tell you, somebody'd love to have that job. Somebody would have a fantastic time at that job. Everybody is fighting. Young adults in college are in a fight. Married people are in a fight. Engaged people are in a fight. Single people are in a fight. Can I tell you, there's married people that want to be single and single people that want to be married. It's the truth of the matter. We are all in a fight. It's just a different fight. My question is, are you fit for the fight? When you're young, you have to fight all kinds of things. You have to fight lust. You have to fight uncertainty. You've got to fight to fit in. You've got to fight just to keep your head. You don't know what you're doing, but you know that you're in a fight. You have to fight peer pressure from those around you. We have to fight because we want to grow up. I may be 11, but I'm going to be 11 and a half soon. So you just hang on because I'm going to be 12 before too long, and then I'm going to be 16, and we're wishing our life away. They're in a fight. These young ones are in a fight. Meanwhile, you get the older ones that wish that they were 11 again. That they don't want to add another year onto life because it's a constant reminder that they only have a certain amount of days left. We are all in a fight. And then this adulting thing comes about. Mom no longer has to wake you up in the morning because there's a thing called an electric bill that wakes you up. There's a thing called rent that wakes you up. I got to get up. If I want a place to lay my head tonight, if my kids are going to eat tonight, I got to get up. I've got to be an adult. I no longer have a choice in the matter, so I'm going to have to fight through these 13 alarms I got set on my phone because I don't want to wake up on the first one. I need at least 12 more before I can get up. And I'm going to tell you, it's a fight. Got the insurance bill. You have to fight traffic. You have to fight to be acknowledged. You have to fight to get a raise. You got to fight if you have a job. My question is, are you fit for the fight? You fight from the day. Look, I'm going to tell you, you fight to get out of the womb. And you fight not to get in a casket. You're constantly fighting. Martin Luther King wrote this from the Birmingham jail. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenges and controversy. I know it's hard right now. There's some of you this week, you cried yourself to sleep, or maybe you found yourself broken because you didn't understand the fight that you're in right now. Can I tell you, that's where the measure of a man or a woman comes in, is where you stand in that time, where you can say, God, I trust you through it. I'm believing that you're going to take me through. You didn't bring me this far to leave me here. I am fit for the fight. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. It's so funny because everybody in the world thinks that preachers don't fight anything. Preachers and their wives don't fight anything. Well, I've got news for you. We fight too. Not each other. But we have battles we have to fight. Just the same as you do. It's funny. If I could just preach, everything would be all right. Really? If I could just pastor a church, hey, everything would be okay. Really? One of our favorite sayings is, pastor a church, they said. It'll be fun, they said. You measure people by how they react in controversy, not comfort. Anybody can have it all together when everything's going good, but what about when the wheels fall off? Are they still rock steady? Are they still moving along in the plan of God? When life brings the death of loved ones, when it brings sickness and injustice, it will humble you, and that's when you find out what you're made of. When you get that bad report from the doctor, that's where you find out where you're made of. When your kid decides to backslide and lose their mind, that's where you find out where you're made of. When your marriage is on the rocks, that's where you find out what you're made of. When everything comes apart, that's where you find out if you're really serving God. If you can really trust God. Amen. It'll humble you. It'll make you find out how tough you are. You find out that the things you judge people for, now you're tempted with. Life has taught me a few things, Brother Nelson. It's taught me, one, to keep my mouth shut. Believe it or not. There's some things that I've boasted in the past, and then sure enough, it never come never and around like it never had before. Well, I said, I never do that. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't just a little bit of time. That thing come around, and here I was, stuck in the middle of what my big mouth said. Can I tell you, you can say a lot of things, but until you're in that moment, you better hush. You see somebody going through something, you better pray for them and pray that God never take you through that. Don't you make wild assumptions that I'll do this and I'll do that. You don't know until you're there. You don't know. Go through life and it gives you a sucker punch and you find out why the person you were judging did what they did. It's so funny how righteous and holy we can get when we see somebody else going through it, but when we go through it, we want mercy. The only time that you're able to sit back and run your jaws about what somebody else is doing in the midst of their storm is when you ain't experienced nothing yourself. Because life is a great teacher. Look, I'm going to tell you, I hold my peace on a lot of things. I hold my peace on a lot of things. Because one, I've been through a thing or two, and I know what it's like to have people look down their nose at you and wonder why you act in the way you do. Well, you haven't been in my shoes. Well, now I've been in some of their shoes. And so now I know to grant them a little peace and a little mercy and a little understanding. I make sure not to jump to conclusions and try to understand. And most of all, I make sure that I'm there to build them up because I want them to be fit for the fight. I want them to know that you're going to make it another round. There's another round left in you. And you are going to make it. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're going to make it. Man. Are you fit for the fight? The early church was in a fight. Jesus done crucified, buried, and resurrected. And you got all these disciples who are like a bunch of associate pastors trying to figure out what's going on. And that ain't none of them. They're all, you got Paul and Peter acting a fool. Paul's going to Peter, why are you eating with the Gentiles this week? But when the Jews come around, you ain't messing with them. What's wrong with you? And they're all having their deal because they were learning how to fight. They were coming together trying to work things out in Jesus' absence. They were a support to Jesus, but now he's gone. He done ascended. And now it's up to them. And it was tough to carry on because people didn't look at them like they did Jesus. It was tough because there was bickering amongst them. Can I tell you, there's going to be bickering. How many of us have experienced church bickering? There's going to be bickering. Figure it out. Because the early church experienced it, and we ain't no better than the early church, amen? We aren't. So the thing about it is, they finally come together. They learn how to fight together and not against one another. There is such power in unity. How lovely it is when the brethren dwell together in unity, the Bible says. When we figure it out and we figure that we're stronger together than apart, and there ain't none of us stronger than all of us, there is something that happens in that. Ask the people at the Tower of Babel, because the Lord said, now nothing will be withheld from them. And so we got to understand that the early church had their problems too. They were in a fight. This church is in a fight. Every Sunday, we're in a fight. Every Wednesday night, we're in a fight. We're fighting hell because hell don't want a church here. But can I tell you, there's still a little more fight in me. There's still a little more fight in you. We're not done yet. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. You know, it is... when someone comes in outside the church, anybody ever been an immigrant and you just didn't fit in the church, it seemed like? But Kaylin kind of giggled. When you just didn't fit in, you tried, just didn't fit. Yeah, that's a fight too. When all you want to do is get with the program, get with everybody else. Look, I'm going to tell you, you can think you can move churches and keep the same status, but you find out quickly, it's not so. It's just not so. I've had that happen. But that's okay, because I was fit for the fight. Jesus was training me how to fight, and I wasn't fighting ministry. Hear me. I'm about ready to preach right now. I'm about ready to take a lap. I wasn't fighting preachers. I wasn't fighting my own brethren. I was fighting my flesh because I thought I needed to be front and center. I thought I needed to be somebody. Didn't you know I served in this capacity all these years over there? It didn't matter not a bit in this next church. And when pastor told me, you just need to sit down for a while. Man, I was hurt. My feel good was tore all to pieces. Till I understood what he was doing. I had to fight my flesh because my flesh... said, well, I did this and I did that. Not here you didn't. Not here you didn't. Amen. And I thank God that he did that because he used wisdom. He had to scrutinize my life a little bit. He wouldn't just let anybody jump up in ministry. He wanted to make sure that they were living what they were supposed to be living. Amen. He wanted to have a look inside their lives. That's why they had to scrutinize just like they did Paul. Paul taught grace, but he knew about grace. He discarded ceremony. He discarded works. He discarded sacraments. All that meant nothing to him. He was saying, I don't care what you did. I don't care what family you come from. God's grace is sufficient. Can I tell you? Let God work it out. Our war is not flesh and blood, but it's spiritual strongholds. And can I tell you, sometimes it's fleshly strongholds within ourselves, and we need to tear them down. And that's the fight we ought to be fighting. And can I tell you how you fight that fight? With prayer and fasting. And when you get that under control, everything else starts to fall in line. God's grace is sufficient. I will tell you one thing around here. I don't care what your last name is. Don't matter. And it's all about, are you living for God? Are you doing what this word says? Look, I can tell you, you could have some big name. You could have Billy Graham Jr. come in here. I don't care. I don't care what his last name is. If he ain't living what that Bible says, you ain't going to be used, because that is the way it is. I don't care about names. I don't care about all these things. So Paul comes and he picks out people. These are the people that you rely on, people you trust, people you would get in a foxhole with. You got to be careful who you get in a foxhole with. Yep. You got to be careful who you buddy up with, because look, I'm going to tell you, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school today, so let me just rehearse what we talked about. Can I tell you, there was a young man of God who the Lord told him, he said, you need to go here to this so-and-so place. Don't you eat, don't you stop till you get there. And then there was an old prophet that come out of the woodwork, and he said, what are you doing, young prophet? He said, the Lord told me to go from here to there and not to stop, not to eat, not to do any of that. And the old prophet said, now you come in here, the Lord done spoke to me, you come in here and grab you something to eat and take a little rest and it'll be fine. And can I tell you, when that young prophet left the next day, he was killed in his tracks. The old prophet wasn't judged, but the young prophet was. You are responsible for you. You are responsible for the word of the Lord that God gave to you, and you better guard your ears and guard your spirit as to who you're listening to. I get worked up when I talk about this, because I've seen good people get led astray by people with ill intentions. See, you got to be careful, because they'll like you when it comes to the light. When you're in the light, when everything's going good, they'll like you. Until they don't, until hard time comes, until that you have nothing else to offer them, and they will leave you by the roadside just as quick as they found you. I'm going to tell you, that's why you've got to guard yourself. A lot of people want to be around you so they get recognition and honor by being around you, but when people turn against you, they unfollow you, not just on Facebook, but in life. They'll turn their backs on you. I'm going to tell you, I know what I'm talking about right now. Just as quick as they hit that friend request, they will hit that block button. Can I tell you, it matters. You better try the people that you get linked up with and make sure that it's a God connection. You better make sure that they've got a connection with God and that they're living what they're preaching. Amen. So Paul's working with Barnabas, and they're doing real good. Barnabas brings John Mark along with him. John Mark is the son of a wealthy Christian woman. He's Barnabas' cousin. He's there to be a support person, a gopher, if you will. Can I tell you, everybody's needed in the kingdom. And there's no greater part than another. Jesus addressed this. He said, how's the eye going to say this? Because I'm not that. I'm to none effect. Can I tell you, everything has a purpose and place in the kingdom. Too many people think that if you're not here, you're ineffective. Can I tell you, I would rather be at a kitchen table. I would rather be teaching a Bible study. I don't mind to clean the bathrooms. I love it. Because if I'm cleaning a bathroom, that means a visitor's going to have some place to go. But John Mark wanted to be seen with Paul and Barnabas. We love to be seen with someone who's being seen. The church is growing and things are good. We like being with the popular people. We do. Come on now. I'm gonna be so for real right now. I've got a whole separate folder in my phone where I got pictures with Wayne Huntley, Raymond Woodward, Jimmy Toney, all these big names in our organization, Brother Anthony Mangan, Vesta Mangan, all these big names. We like to be seen with people who are seen. Question is, are you still around whenever they need you? He loved to be seen. And the Gentiles are starting to get it. But the Jews begin to go back to the old ways, and the Jews are snubbing their noses at this revival because the Gentiles were nasty people. They've done dirty things. Can I tell you, there are going to be some people who've done some things that come into the church house. We better not be that type of way where we don't want to be around them. We better not be any type of way when we find out they did such and such and such and such, because as a matter of fact, such were some of you. You are not clean as what you think you are. And the only reason you are as clean as you think you are is because of the blood of the Lamb. And now you've got a word of your testimony, and that's not to call somebody else out because they're dirty. They've got a past. Before Christ, they wouldn't even eat with them. Where Gentiles would eat, they would literally break the plate. Because you think racism is bad in the United States at any point in time, you ain't seen nothing like you seen back then. They were bad. They would walk out of their way just to not even walk near them. Amen. James didn't like the fact that Gentiles were receiving the promise. Peter didn't like it at first, but then the Lord gave him a dream and said, "How dare you? Rise and eat." Oh no, that's dirty, Lord. Don't you call dirty what I've made clean? Don't you do that. Can I tell you? The Lord's going to send people in here that society doesn't want. We better receive them with open arms. We better, look, I'm going to tell you, and it's going to be a fight, because here's what happens. We got the church here today. Let's talk about it. When you start ministering to people with problems, guess what? Along with those people comes spirits. They have a spiritual problem too, because the spirits have latched themselves onto them. Spirits of lust, spirits of addiction, spirits of murder, spirits of stealing. All these spirits have now clung to them, and now you're going to have to deal with them because you invited them into your life. Don't you think it's strange when you face fiery trials because you're doing what God asked you to do? You better be prayed up. You better be fasted up, because this is what you were called to do. Are you fit for the fight? I'm going to tell you, what makes a boxer is not his trunks or his boots or his gloves. What makes a boxer is his ability and how he's trained. Can I tell you, you've got to be in your word. I don't care what this exterior looks like. Everybody in here looks fantastic today. We look like bona fide church people in here today. But this is not what makes you a Christian. This is not what makes you fit for the fight. It's the fact that you get in this word and you study it and you do your spiritual calisthenics, where you're in the word every single day and you're praying every single day and you're flexing your spiritual muscles. That's how you get fit for the fight. Amen. Everything was coming to a head. People were being crucified, beheaded, thrown in prison on the outside. But I didn't expect there to be hell on the inside as well. There's fighting inside, there's fighting outside. Can I tell you, it's 2025 and it's still the same. You're going to have battles on the outside. You're going to have battles on the inside. You're going to have battles in this economy. You're going to have battles. But you're going to have battles in here too. You're going to fight. The number one thing the enemy wants to destroy is the same thing he wanted to destroy at the beginning of the world, and that was the marriage between a man and a woman. He's got his eyes fixed, because if he can break down the family, he can break down everything. And so we've got to make sure that we are fighting for, let me say this right, don't hear what I'm not saying. We have to fight for our marriage and not against one another. We have got to fight for our marriage. It's hard. Your spouse is going to get on your nerves. They're not going to do everything right. I see I got an amen corner. Love them anyway. Why am I in another marriage seminar? When you said I do, that means you did forever. Let me see if I can rehearse some of these and remind us of some of these. For better, for worse. That means when they're doing everything right and y'all got the googly eyes, and when they're on your nerve, and when they folded the towels wrong, or they forgot to take out the trash, or they didn't pack your favorite lunch, or they burnt the meatloaf again. Why'd I look this way? It was for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer. When things get tough, it's not time to run. It's time to lock arms and say, "Babe, we're going to get through this. We might have to cut a few things out, but we're going to make it through this." Can I tell you, if the enemy can get you divided, and there's two things that he likes to divide you on. First one's money. First one's money. The second one's communication. Don't quit talking. Have the hard conversations. Have them. It's not supposed to be comfortable, but it's okay. Have them. You're never going to be able to work cohesively if you don't talk. I'm going to shock you women right here, right now. It's going to blow your mind. We are not mind readers. I know. Well, some of us are not. You have to talk to us. You have to tell us what we're doing wrong. And sometimes you have to talk to us and tell us very loudly because we can't hear. And it's not that we're ignoring you. You have to be fit for this. Marriage is a fight. A good marriage is a fight. I've got people on my job that are amazed that me and Sister Lawson made it for 33 years, mainly for her. Let me tell you something. It's because we don't give up when things are broken. We fix it. And that fixing comes by speaking and communicating, by meeting in the middle, by not having to always be right, by not judging in the midst, but by loving one another. Man, there's so much good stuff in here. I'm trying to get off this whole marriage thing, but I just want you to remember a couple things. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He gave his life for it. Remember that. Next time you try to put yourself first, remember that. The next time that you want to call her a cotton-headed ninny muggins, remember that. He loved her. He loved the church. And that's how we're to love our wives. Amen? Amen. You know, I don't worry about haters on the outside. Anybody got any haters? Anybody that don't like them? I know y'all finding that funny that I do. I do. I got some people don't like me. I ain't worried about them. I'm worried about the ones in the church. I'm worried about the person next to me. I'm worried about the people that, look, I've had people shout amen with me and eat me up. I'm worried about that. Amen. Look, Jesus was not exempt. He had a Judas. He only picked 12 and one of them betrayed him. Hear me today. That's why who we keep in our circle matters. And you know, even in the midst of it, even when Judas was about to betray him, how did Jesus handle it? Heads up with him. Said, whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. He didn't fight him, but he knew there was a fight coming because Calvary was coming. Can I tell you? You are going to have your moment. You're going to have your ultimate trial. Are you fit for the fight? You see, Jesus is working you up to a point where you'll be ready for this trial that's coming. But can I tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you are going to be fit for the fight. It's not going to take you out. You will live and not die. I feel Sunday morning creeping over. Psalm 118 and 7. Put that in your Bible. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. It goes on to say, oh man, I love it. Turn your Bibles there real quick. I want you to read this with me because it's important. Please humor me for just a minute. Psalm 118 and 17. Ooh, I like this. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. Sister Lawson, you there? Sweet. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now watch verse 18. The Lord hath chasten me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. You ain't gonna die. You're just getting fit for the fight. Have you ever trained for something and it felt like you were going to die? You were in rehab and it hurt and you thought that it was going to be the end? You are not going to die. The Lord's going to chasten you a little bit, but you're going to live and you're going to declare the works of the Lord. You are becoming fit for the fight. You are called to do something extraordinary, but it also comes with an extraordinary price. We can't think that we're just going to come in just any old way and think everything's going to be good. You have to train. You have to be fit for the fight. Amen. So they're fighting hell on the outside. And they're fighting hell on the inside, just like some of us. We're fighting life. We're fighting failure. We're fighting circumstance on the outside and on the inside as well. Sometimes we have to fight to be understood by our family. Portion of scripture where they asked Jesus, from where did those injuries come? Remember what he said? From the house of my brethren. From the house of my own brethren. You know, sometimes your family hurts you worse than anybody. Yep. Yeah. But then I remember Joseph. And this word is so powerful. When you understand that the wounds that were inflicted even by your own family were to make you better and do something on purpose. I love how Joseph said it. He said, you thought to do ill to me. But the Lord had other plans, and he forgave them. Can I tell you, if you're going to win this fight, the very first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to forgive some old hurts. You're going to. You're going to have to forgive it. You're going to have to let it go. It doesn't mean you have to be a doormat for the person that hurts you. Let me be very clear. But you have to let it go. Holding on to it is never going to help you. It happened. It was terrible. It hurt. You probably hurt like you never did before because it was your own family. I get it. I've experienced it. I know about it. But I also knew to let it go because in that I was going to grow. That in that, in the letting go, I was going to grow. Is it easy? No. But when you're fit for the fight, you learn how. It's funny. John Mark sees the controversy. He sees everything happening in the church, and now people are being thrown in jail. And he's like, nope, I'm out. Peace. I ain't want no part of that. I didn't get called to that. But the ones who were fit for the fight knew exactly what they were in for. How fit are you for this fight? I want you to be honest with yourself. I'm bringing this in for a landing. But I want us to be honest with ourselves. Are you fit for this fight? It's natural to sometimes question yourself. But can I tell you, if the Lord called you to it, he's going to see you through it. He's not going to lead you to something that will destroy you. But rather, he had enough confidence that you can make it through because he was helping you train so you would be fit for the fight. Are you fit for the fight? Are you ready to go to where God is calling you to? It's not going to be easy. It's not. But can I tell you, it's going to be worth it. How many of us, if we're honest, know that we're stronger today than when we first got in church? So much stronger. Now, how many of us had to fight hell to get here? We had to fight. You are not going to die in this trial. You are becoming fit for the fight. Won't we stand? Hallelujah. This week, during work, there were several times I was so overcome with just a burden. I caught myself as I was listening to my Spotify. I would find myself weeping because I knew that there was a battle going on, and I could feel the questions. I could honestly, truthfully feel hurt. And nothing had hurt me, but I was feeling it. I was feeling a desperation, and it just broke me because somebody is going through training. Somebody's getting fit for the fight. If there's anything I can admonish you today, is just keep moving. Don't go backwards. You can win this fight. It's not going to be easy. I want to remind you that there's no armor for the back, so there's no turning around. It's only front-facing armor. Are you fit for the fight? Every head bowed and every eye closed in here. From youngest to oldest, I know that every one of you is fighting a fight. And you're thinking, you may be thinking, ain't nobody fighting a fight like I am, but in reality they are. It's just a different fight. But can I tell you, we can make it. The Bible lets us know that we're more than conquerors. That means I can make it. The Bible tells us that greater is He that is in me. It means I can make it. The Bible tells me that I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. That reminds me I'm becoming fit for the fight. If you're fighting today, you're not alone. Won't you come up here and just ask God to give you strength for one more round?